this tkuf of the year is Chodosh. And Chodosh has a lot to do with Eretz Yisrael. What is, let's review some chidush about Chodosh. About Chodosh, the Tzvias Oimer, and try to bring out a point. Chodosh, what exactly is Chodosh? So here in America, there are different minhagim as what to do. It is the tradition for generations not to be nizhar in the inyone chodosh in chutz la'aretz. Let's review the basic principles. We have a halacha that it is forbidden to partake from the new grain, any grain that grows after, that has not taken root, that has not taken root from the time of the Omer. The Omer, the carbon Omer, is a carbon made from barley. And it is offered, we learned this yesterday, everyone knows these things, it was offered on the second day of Pesach. And the moment when this carbon mincha, this barley offering, was offered on the Mizbeach, on the second day of Pesach, when it was offered, anything that has taken root from after last year's Omer, now becomes mutter. Now it is permitted for consumption. Anything that's going to grow mikanu lahaba is off limits. May not be eaten until a year from now. You'll bring the next carbon omer. So this carbon omer is really coming to be matir all of the grain in the world, all the grain of Eretz Yisrael that has taken root, has grown from the last time the omer was offered. Okay, so that is what we offer. So now, this halacha, do we apply it? Now, if we would apply the laws of Chodosh to the entire world in Chutz La'aretz, what would that mean for us? Well, right now, you go into the bakery, the flour they're using to make bread and to make all products, obviously, it grew, it couldn't have grown from the time, from Pesach. It's only been how many weeks since Pesach? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? It didn't take root in the ground and grow, and was harvested and processed and brought to the bakery and made into bread. Obviously not. Whatever they're serving you right now in the bakery has already been grown and been processed months ago. Months ago. Who knows? Maybe even a year ago. Maybe even 2 years. Who knows where it's really coming from? You have to trace everything where it's really coming from. So it's not really an issue for us now, but let's say you get it ready towards the end of the summer. You get to the end of the summer, then bakeries are taking shipments of flour products that have grown, that have taken root now, and are blossoming and growing, and will be harvested and be processed and shipped off to all the factories and to all of the, will be sold commercially. So how long will that take to happen? I don't know exactly. Every product is different. But let's assume already when you get to the end of the summer. When you get to the end of the summer, you're already looking for trouble.
So the wheat actually lasts a whole year?
Yes, it lasts even more.
Before, it can't use it for a whole year.
Before in Congress, before the time of the Russian, the Cold War, before going back in the 60s, America had a massive surplus of wheat. And it was a guarantee that there was no issue of Chodosh in America. Every product in America, the flour that you're getting in the bakery was grown. The flour came from a stockpile from at least a year before it ends up in the store. That's how it is. Then
did
what happened?
Store it for a year?
Yeah.
4 years.
Years. It was stored. There was a massive, massive surplus. Then Congress passed a law that even that our good friends in Russia are starving to death. They don't have to starve to death. We'll kill them with nukes. There's a better way to die. We don't want them to die through starvation. So they did an act of chesed. They said, even though they're enemies, we're trying to nuke them. In the meantime, they might as well have what to eat. And they passed a law that to give all the surplus to the starving people in Russia.
That law helped get the Russians out. That was the hammer.
Jackson.
That was the tonight that they let out the Jews.
The Jews.
Right.
An incredible thing. So they shipped off all. Now when that happened, so the Americans said, if we're going to have to send away all of our surplus, we're not going to send them the best. We're going to send them the old stuff. We're not going to send them the new stuff, because the new stuff is fresh. So they shipped out to Russia the old stuff. and they kept in America, they knew, oh, then all of a sudden overnight, it became a problem that they were only keeping in stock new, fresh. And then it became a reality where it's very possible that when it comes, let's say, the end of the summer or in the fall, and certainly when it gets to Hanukkah time, when you go into the bakery, the flour that they're using in the bakery has grown in the fields after Pesach. So then it became a very big problem that the grain is not, it's chodosh. It's chodosh and it's not yashan and it's osu. Now this is certainly true in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, there's no question, the halach and Shulchan Aruch is clear as day, that bizman hazeh, even though there is no Beis HaMikdash and there is no Karban Omer, the laws of Chodesh are 100% in full force. Some say D'oraisa, some say Midrabanan.
There's no reason for it.
There is, well, I don't, there's not necessarily a chok, there is a reason. It's to show that you don't be obsessed with gashmis. Everything gashmi you have in this world, the Torah put restraints. Don't go plant and take the grain and eat it right away. Slow down there, buddy. Slow down. First, wait until Pesach. Take some, bring a carbon to Hashem as an acknowledgement. Hashem has given you this grain. And then it becomes mutter. Everything in Judaism is like that. Every halacha is all designed. Calm down. Calm down. First, acknowledge where you're getting your food, what you're doing. And then you can enjoy as much as you want. So it's not halacha. So in Eretz Yisrael, this halacha applies. And because it applies in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be very careful. You know, the worst day of the year, think about it, the worst day of the year is Pesach. Because Pesach, the night of Pesach, is the last day. The first day of Pesach has been the longest period of time since Chodosh was mutter. So matzos, in Eretz Yisrael, when they bake matzos, where are they getting the flour from? They can't use flour that has grown from the last Pesach, because that flour is chodosh. So they have to use flour because the first night of Pesach, chodosh is still osur. Chodosh is also the first night of Pesach. So the chodosh becomes mutter on the third day of Pesach. We have to wait until the whole second day passes, the third day. So what do you do with the Pesach Seder? The Pesach said, you need matzah. Where did the factories get flour to make matzah? In Eretz Yisrael, everyone agrees without question that you have to only use flour that is yosha. That means they have to use flour that was grown in the field 2 years ago. And that's what they do. And all products, they store grain for a very long time because it has to be yosha. I'm sorry?
Or import.
So importing is not so simple. You've touched upon a very hot issue. And the issue that my Naaman touched upon is, can you import grain that has grown in Chutz La'aretz? Assuming that in Chutz La'aretz the laws of Chodosh and Yashin do not apply, and bring it into Eretz Yisrael. So let's go step by step. What about us here in America? In America, are we makbid that all of the farmers out west who grow grain, produce wheat and flour, that we only can bring into the bakery flour that has been processed before Pesach? Right now it's not a problem, but once we get to the end of the summer and the fall and going forward, are we makbid to only use grain that has grown from before? So, for generations, we have not been makir on this. We're not makir. And the question is why? So some will say, because the halacha is, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, does not apply in Chutz La'aretz. The problem is, the vast majority of the Rishonim understand the halacha to be that you are obligated to observe the laws of Chodosh in Chutz La'aretz, even with grain that is owned by non-Jews.
Even though there's no carbon omer?
Yes. Even though there's no carbon omer, three reasons why you would say you should be permitted. Because anyway, today there is no carbon omer. anyway, and it's owned by non-Jews, and it is in chutz la'aretz. Each one of these reasons, in and of itself, should be enough of a reason to negate the need for us in chutz la'aretz to be nizer in the laws of chadash. Problem is, it says in the pasuk, b'chol lo shvo seichem. When you come into the land, ki sovo el aretz, asher ani naseh lochem, the pasuk goes on to say you observe the laws of chadash, k'tzaitim es k'tzira, and the pasuk, the parasha, concludes that you shall follow this law in all of the chol mo shvo seichem, ledoy roy seichem. Two words. All of your dwelling places throughout all of your generations. Which seems to indicate, no matter where you find yourself, and even in chutz la'aretz, and all of your generations comes to include, even when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer functional, it's been destroyed, and there is no Karbon Omer. In every generation, no matter what, in every location throughout the world, you have an obligation to observe the laws of Chadash. These two words pose a very, very challenging problem for the Jewish people throughout history. Because, practically speaking, it's very, very hard, or has been, in Jewish history, where Jews live in abject poverty for many, many eras, and there wasn't much food to be found to begin with, and now to say, no, we're not going to eat this because this grain has grown between last Pesach and this Pesach, and therefore it's not yet Pesach, and therefore it's Chodesh. You want to starve to death? Is that what you want to go do? So, Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Kolot HaRakula, right? But let's say it's not Mam Mish Pikuach Nefesh, but you're not going to have a balanced diet, and it's going to be unaffordable, and it's going to be a very big headache, what to do. So this was, and still is, a very, very big problem. And there are different opinions, many, many different opinions. The one that's probably the most machmir is the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. Okay, the Gra holds that Chodosh Bizman Hazeh in Chutz La'aretz is the Araisa. It's mamish an extremist, the Gra. Mamish an extremist. People who tell the Chaim Berlin that they follow the Gra don't know what they're talking about, because no one in Chaim Berlin is not in the Chodosh. So it doesn't mean that. There's no... The Gra is very, very machmir. And there are people, there are people that are very serious about this. The one that is the biggest advocate to be Mekel is the Bach. Okay, the Bach lived many, many hundreds of years ago, not many hundreds, but he lived a long time ago, and the Bach took hold of minority opinions in the Rishonim that says that when it says v'chol moshe osechem l'doy roi seichem, they have other interpretations of what this means, and basically in chutz la'aretz there is no law of chodesh, period. And it doesn't apply bizman hazeh in chutz la'aretz at all. There's certain gedolei shel, I remember names, I forget all these names, is that there's a legend. There's an old legend that when the Bach died and he came to Shemayim, they cooled off Gehenim for 40 days in honor of his arrival to the Olam Ha'emes. A celebrity has come to town, so in Gehenim, they turned off the heaters for 40 days in his honor. So there's a famous Rebbe, I don't remember who he says, if the Bach was great enough that they say this about him, whether it's true or not is not relevant, that when he came to Shemayim, they cooled off Gehenim for 40 days, we can rely upon his opinion, his halachic decision, to follow the opinions that say that Bizman Hazeh, there is in Chutz La'aretz, there is no requirement to be Nizar in the laws of Chodosh. And you can go into a bakery, you can go into ShopRite, you can go into any store, and you can buy any grain product that has grown between last year Pesach and this year Pesach, and has not yet had the benefit of it passing through the day when all of the grain becomes mutter, and you can eat it, and you have nothing to worry about. This has been the accepted custom for generations by most of Klal Yisrael. It's very fascinating that the Mishnah Berurah, Chofetz Chaim, was not happy with this. The Mishnah Berurah takes a very, very hard line on Chodesh. And he says that leniency that we rely on today is a bit over the top. And a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. Someone that wants to be Machmir should be Machmir. It's very interesting because the Mishnah Berurah doesn't do that. This is not its style. It's not its style to go against what is accepted Jewish custom. The Jewish custom is clearly to be lenient. Today, I don't think anyone here in this room is Machmir. Anyone here Machmir Chodosh? If you go to the bakery, oh, it's Chodosh. Oh, very
pizza
nice.
Shop,
what?
The pizza shop.
That's a business decision.
That's a business decision.
If the pizza store on Avenue M and Avenue J did not advertise on their window that it's Yashan, would you still buy pizza? I would. And I think the majority of people in this room would also buy pizza. For some reason, it's a fad. It's good for business. It gives you a little bit more oomph. Oh, it's Yashan. Many people don't even know what that means. Okay, so it's a business decision. If the proof of the pudding is if they would take away, they would tell them it's not Yashan. The vast majority of people in this community would have no problem going into the store and buying the pizza just the same. Okay, it's it looks good. It looks good for business. So most people are not mocking on this. The briskers, or some of the briskers, I have a cousin, Soloveitchik. It was always an issue. Whenever they came to visit, they came for Shabbos, you know, my cousin by marriage, they, you know, the family only eats Yashan. So my mother, Allah Hashem, would have to always to make sure that all the products in the home that were served to them when they came were Yashan. That was their custom. That's the way they do things. My cousins are all only Yashan. The Mishnah Berurah, shockingly, takes a very hard line. It's really disturbing to me. The Mishnah Berurah, this is not the custom. He says, it's not so simple. He has very, very harsh words. And maybe that's the reason why today you do definitely see there is a trend. There is a trend today to be nizer in chutz la'aretz for Yashan, mainly because it can be done. It's easy to do, relatively speaking. Why is it easy to do? Because today everything is tracked. Every bag of flour has a serial number, you can do it with your phone even. They have technology, and there are people that spend a lot of time and effort into setting up these systems. Where you can go to I think there's even an app. You go into a supermarket, and you can take your phone, and you can scan. You want to buy a bag of crackers from a Goyish company, and you can just scan the barcode, and your phone will tell you if it's Yashan. You go Hanukkah time, go into ShopRite, and you want to go buy Entenmann's. You want to go buy Stella Duro? You want to go buy some pretzels? Take your phone, you have the app installed, you press the button, you take the bag, it'll tell you right away if this bag of pretzels is Yashan or Chadosh. So it can be done. So that's why today, so maybe an individual, they're not going to bother with this, but a store, you're making pizza, you're serving a caterer, you want to go put on your certificate we're very kosher here. We even have only Yashan. So people in the store anyway, that's what they do. They prepare the food, they do the order. So it's not a big deal for them. Only let's buy the Yashan, let's not buy the Chadosh. And we'll charge the customer more for this as well. So it's not, the technology has allowed this to be done. Now, here's the issue. Here, why indeed has in the past we've been extremely lenient? And the reason, so the Mishnah Berurah says, these are very famous insights, is because it used to be where they rely upon a sveik sveik. Okay, sveik sveik. What's a sveik sveik? Huh? You do not know if the product that you are purchasing, you have to understand, it depends on the society, the location of the world we live, but the general rule was, you do not know, first of all, if the product that you are purchasing, if the grain is Yashan or Chadosh. You don't know. It could be 50-50. Number two, even if indeed this grain has, from the new crop, this is after we understand the agriculture and how it works, how it's set up, even the new grain, it's very possible it already took root before Pesach. know, depending, they typically do not grow. I don't know, today things have changed quite a bit. But years ago, in the Altahain, there were two crops. Even the new crop, the grain that was grown after Pesach, more often than not, the grain already took root before Pesach. And if it took root in the ground before Pesach, when the second day of Pesach came, it was matir, the new crop. There were many crops that were grown. They first started planting at the end of the summer. That wasn't common. Maybe today it is more common. I don't know, but years ago, that's not the way they did things. After the main grain was grown in the spring. And even if it's from this year's crop that was grown in the spring, there's a very real possibility that the grain already took root in the ground before the second day of Pesach. And of course, that all depends on the time of the year. Pesach some years is early and some years is late. And there are other factors in when exactly they planted due to circumstances. So traditionally, for hundreds of years, there was always this thing thrown out by the Poskim that besides the fact that the Bach categorically holds that's permitted, because we hold that there's no halach of chodesh period in Chutz La'aretz, even if you're going to be machmir and assume that the laws of chodesh do apply in Chutz La'aretz, whether you take the opinion that applies derabbanan or deraisa, it is a sfeik sfeika. Number one, when you buy a product years ago, now a different world, there were no serial numbers, there are no codes. You really honestly do not know which grain was used to produce this product. It was common to store grain from season to season. Maybe this is yosha. Number two, even in the worst scenario where the grain you have in front of you is chodosh, maybe it is from this year's, and maybe it took root, the grain already took root before Pesach. So, if it took root before Pesach, even if it's from the chodosh, it is also mut. So you have what's classic sefek sfeika, a double suffik, and being that it's very hard to feed your family, and there's no alternative, it was accustomed for generations to be lenient. Now the problem is, what about today? Today, we don't really have, it's not an excuse anymore today, many will tell you, because today we can find out, you can, if you wish, clarify. Are you obligated to clarify? That itself is a topic of discussion. What exactly is your obligation to do? You go into a store, I have to go make to find out. Number three, others want to say you don't really need to have a real fake sefeik. If the issue was an issue that is deoraisa, then a Torah, then you taku can only be naked if you had a fake sefeik. But even those who hold that today, chodosh is also in chutz la'aretz, is also the vast majority of the poskim that do say it's osur, it's only osur midrabanan. It's not osur min haTorah. Therefore, one safek is enough. You don't have to have a safek, did it grow this year, did it grow last year? Even if it grew this year, maybe it grew before, it took root before Pesach. You don't need to come on to that. One safek is sufficient. So therefore, that's another reason why today many people are very, very make. And there's not what? So blowing to go is not. There's not. These are all. These are all. There's not necessarily an exception. That's all part. All part of the dilemma. I can't. We're not going to go. I don't know all the details. I mean, I have all the friend over here, and I tried to prepare, but too much for me to memorize. These are all the issues. There are two major issues. I really want to point out a third issue, which we have time we have to get to. But there are two major issues. Number one, whoever says that chodosh applies in chutz la'aretz. Number two, whoever says it applies even in Eretz Yisrael, if it's owned by a goy. So in chutz la'aretz, you have both of them together, you have two things going for you. Number one, it's chutz la'aretz. Number two, it's owned by a goy. Each reason in and of itself is a reason to be lenient. So when you combine the two together, that's a home run. And in addition, you don't even know what you have. What you don't know in halacha is always good for you. If you go into the store, you don't know. That's enough. You're not necessarily mechuyev to clarify what the situation is.
That's not what the suffix is. The suffix is when we talk about brachas, the word make a shakra, if it's something I have no
that,
idea
that's
what
different.
This,
that's
what
we'll see
something.
No, that's
just,
different.
I don't know.
You have to go into the laws of suffix. It's a very complicated thing you brought up. There are many varieties of sekos. There are many situations. These are reasons. Like I said, the Mishnah Berurah, for some reason, it's a shocking Mishnah Berurah. It's a very long Mishnah Berurah, where he takes a very hard line and says he really feels that what we're relying upon in his day, Kol Shekeinu, he's talking about in Radin, in Russia, where he was, and he says there that a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. Kol Shekeinu in America, it's very easy to be Machmir.
If I could come from Radin and I came from the other side of Europe, from Sigurd, from
100%. 100%.
Mishnah Brewery.
100%. 100%. But probably the problem is, the kids of Shulchan Aruch also says to be Machmir. That's the problem. Because we are all really, our roots are all in the kids of Shulchan Aruch. And he says to be Machmir. The Gra. He quotes the Gra, his Mechudin, and the Gra holds that it's a Deoraisa. And yet, Pukhazi Mamadva, the Oilam today is not. They're not Machmir. That's the Mitzvah. Despite the fact that we live in the Mishnah Berurah generation, despite the fact that Kishroch is the Machmir, despite everyone, the Gra, everyone is into the Gra today, right? Everyone is big into the Gra today. Yeah, the Gra holds that it's Deoraisa. And yet, when it comes to food, no. Don't go there. Everyone somehow very conveniently holds that we are lean. Now, let me tell you something which crosses my mind, and I find it very interesting. And no one says this. A reason to be megal. No one says this. Here's my ha'ara. There are a lot of incredible things over here about because we'll do another day. We'll see. But over here, he brings down a base here. So he asks a very interesting question. Very, very fascinating question. Bisman she beis hamikdash hayakayim. When there was a beis hamikdash, at what point did chadash become mutar? When they brought the omer. When did they bring the omer? Well, it depends. They wake up in the morning, sunrise, make believe it's 6 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock, sunrise. So when are you going to bring the omer? Well, they had to bring the tamid shel shachar. So no, hopefully by 6:30 they did it. Great, 6:31 breakfast. You can eat chadash. Start. That's the halach. You wait until it's brought. What happens if they did not?
6:30.
You can eat yashma. You could everything is yashma at 6. Everything is good. Right? Everything is not permitted. What happens if there's some type of emergency in the Beis Hamikdash, and they didn't bring it? They, for some reason, they did not bring the carbon until the late afternoon. Everyone has to wait. Everyone must wait until they bring the carbon. It's not permitted. Now, let's pause for a moment. What happens when there is no Beis HaMikdash? Bizman Hazeh, when the second day of Pesach comes, and there is no Mizbeach, there is no Mikdash, then the halacha is, it's mutter immediately. The halacha that you are mechuyev, that's one opinion, that's how we pass it. That's how we pass it. Me'ikar hadin. Me'ikar hadin, there are different opinions in the Gemara. There's a nice, elaborate, lively discussion. But the bottom line is, halacha l'maaseh, we pass it for real. That if the day of the 16th of Nisan arrives, and there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Mizbeach standing, at the moment of sunrise, 6 a.m. So that basically means there's no potential. There's no potential to bring the carbon omer. Because there's no mizbeach at 6 a.m. in the morning. Don't tell me you're going to build it at 6:30. You're going to build a mizbeach later in the day. No, we don't say that. If at 6 a.m. of this morning there is no mizbeach, then this rule is Heir HaMizrach. Sunrise is Matir Chodesh. So if there is a 6 a.m. sunrise, if there is a Mizbeach, It's usser until you bring the omer. Do it. Well, we gotta do other things, so do it. So get working, get going. When you do it, then it becomes permitted. If there is no mizbeach at 6 a.m., there's no mizbeach, then there's a principle called Heir HaMizrach. Sunrise. Sunrise on day 16 is Maghrib. You have to wait. Oh, very good. You have to wait until when it's done. No, you wait until it's done. Yerushalayim time. Correct. Like the Moilet. Yerushalayim time. Absolutely. Now, here's a dilemma. Now, by the way, as an aside, for as a takonas chazal, bizman hazeh, we're not matir 6 a.m. on day 16. We wait a whole other day. Because maybe Mashiach will come in between this year and next year, a whole sugya. So we're machmir, for whatever the reasons are, now for now, we wait an additional day until day 17. We wait 24 hours. But according to Torah law, Chodosh is mutter on the morning of the 16th at 6 a.m. with sunrise if there is not a mizbeach built ready to go. Now, here is a very fascinating dilemma. What happens if there is a mizbeach? The Beis HaMikdash is in full swing. Beautiful Beis HaMikdash, we have Kohanim, we have everything you can possibly want, all the bells and whistles. Day 16 arrives, it's 6 a.m. There's a Beis HaMikdash, there's a Mizbeach, there are Kohanim. Everything is great. Is Chodosh, are you allowed to eat Chodosh? No way! You gotta bring the Karbon Omer. Okay? So do it. Okay, we're working. You gotta bring the Tamar Shel Shachar. And then something really bizarre happens. And the whole day passes. The whole day goes by, and they didn't bring it. They did not bring the Karbon Omer. So, I think the Beis Joseph says, he writes, the result should be that the grain is osur until next Pesach. This year will be a year where no one is allowed to eat grain, the five chameshas minei dagon. Because the only way you can eat grain is one of two ways. Either the bringing of the oimer, or heir hamizrach, sunrise. Sunrise is only matir when there's no mizbeach. When there's a mizbeach, then sunrise is not the matir. The matir is the omer. So here you have a mizbeach, so you can't rely upon heir hamizrach. So you need to bring the omer. So bring it.
Omer be brought a day late?
No, it can't. It cannot. The Torah is explicit. Mimocharas
haShabbos. So it's that day.
That day, that's your only chance. So the result would then be that if there is a Beis HaMikdash and they did not bring the Omer, you're stuck. Your mom is stuck. The only grain you can have is grain from 2 years ago if you can find some. But all of the grain that grew this entire year will have to wait until next Pesach for your next chance. That should be the result. And he seems to say that may actually be the case. And that explains what Chazal say. It was a miracle that it never happened that the Omer was possible. Because, let's say they bring the Omer and then they discover, let's look at the videotape of the Hakrovas HaOmer, and they discover it wasn't kosher. It was a flaw. There was something was not done kehalacha. So that will result. You have a Beis HaMikdash. So if you have a Beis HaMikdash, you don't have the matir of Heir HaMizrach of sunrise. And the only thing you can be matir, the chodosh, is the carbon. And the carbon can only be brought on this day of the year. If you didn't bring the Omer, you would discover that the Omer was not kosher. The Kohen who brought the Omer was a fraud. He says, ha, 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 I fooled you, I'm not a Kohen. I'm a Yisrael, I'm a Levi. Things like that could happen. There could be a lot of discoveries that you discover. You know what that means? There was no matir. All of the grain remains in a state of Isur until next Pesach. When next Pesach will bring the Omer, or next Pesach there won't be a Mizbeach, then you'll have next year's Cheir HaMizrach, or you'll have next year's Omer. This is what the Beis Yosef says. I checked, I think it's the Beis Yosef, I checked all over. I can't find anyone who talks about this. And this would seem to be the result. Now, if you take that concept further and apply it in the opposite direction, I'm leaving out some piece of this puzzle. I just want to make a ha'ora. What I'm saying is obviously not correct because no one says this. But the Beis Yosef says that to some degree, we are very maker when it comes to Chodesh. That's the reality. The Mishnah Berurah says you have to be machmer. Everyone says be machmer, machmer, machmer. The Bach, you could argue, said it because of circumstance, due to the generation he lived. It was either you're going to be makel, you're going to starve to death, so he said we should be makel, and that became the custom, and we have that custom, Ad HaYom HaZeh, we're makel, 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 and all of you showing them are scratching their heads. Everyone's, why are we so makel? We're so machmer when it comes to so many things in Judaism, when it comes to this. We don't even try. Why? It's a tough question. I just want to make a ha'ara. There are other proofs to this concept. The only time grain becomes usur is when the grain has potential for it to become mutter. So in other words, when grain grows, when the moment when a kernel of grain comes out of the ground, what is its status? It's awesome. Let's talk about specifically in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's awesome. Why is it awesome? Because this grain is a Beis HaMikdash. There is a Mizbeach. The fact that there is a Mizbeach is not only relevant on the 16th day of Nisan. A Mizbeach is relevant on the day the kernel of wheat comes out of the ground. When the grain comes out of the ground, this grain is coming into a world where there's a Mizbeach. And that means this stalk of grain will not become mutter until the Omer is offered. If the kernel of comes out of the ground in a world where there is no Mizbeach, what's going to be matir? What will be matir this grain? From the very get-go, what's going to be matir it is going to be, to a degree, sunrise on day 16. Just like we see the principle, the Mizbeach's existence changes the dynamics of what is going to be the matir. Go by, and there's a proof to this principle in another application, by extension, the Mizbeach's existence has an effect on the kernel of grain, on the stalk of grain, when it comes out of the ground, whenever it comes out. This comes out of the ground at a moment in time when there's a Mizbeach. Oh, there's a Mizbeach. And here's a, oh, this needs the Mizbeach to be matured. If when it comes out of the ground, there's no Mizbeach, this does not need the Mizbeach to be matured. If you take just this point by extension, what happens in the year of Mashiach? Last year, when the grain comes out of the ground, there's no Mizbeach. There's no Mizbeach. What's the matir? Here in Israel. Now they build a Mizbeach. Does the grain that has grown, came into the world, when there's no Mizbeach, need, on the day 16, the Omer to be offered to be matir it? You can argue it doesn't. Because when the grain came into existence, there was no Mizbeach. Just because you arrive on the scene, I now need you, Mizbeach, to be matter you. My heter was already determined when I came into this world. When I came into the world, where were you, Mizbeach? You didn't exist. So my heter was already matched to Heir HaMizrach. Just because in between the time when the Mizbeach was built, when the grain came into existence and day 16 arrives, the Mizbeach is built, that's going to change the heter for me. Too little, too late. You're a latecomer. I came into this world, it was the Mizbeach from day one. My matir is Heir HaMizrach. Now, the Mizbeach is built, If you, Mizbeach, existed when I came into this world, then I would need you to be Mati. You can make an argument. And some, in fact, do. Now, in Chutz Li'aretz, it's a different dynamic. Even if, here's the Chiddush, we want to say, there are so many levels of Machlokes you can't even begin to imagine. Even if you hold, like all of the Rishonim, across the board, there's a din chadash in Chutz La'aretz. Grain that grows in Chutz La'aretz, grain that grows in Chutz La'aretz is awesome. You gotta wait until Pesach. Question: can you take grain that grows in Flatbush and actually bring that grain as the carbon omer? Is there a din that the omer itself, the grain that you bring on the Mizbeach, must grow in Eretz Yisrael? Most opinions say it must come in Eretz Yisrael. Even if you want to say that there's a din chodosh in Chutz La'aretz, you're not allowed to eat until you bring the carbon. But when you bring the carbon, can I use grain that grew in Chutz La'aretz as the actual mincha that I put on the Mizbeach? No way.
Possible. Can you use old grain for the
carbon? No, you cannot. You have to use new grain. You have to use new grain. And you have to use new grain that grew in the Holy Land. Are you allowed to eat the new grain in Chutz La'aretz? No way. According to Moshe Rishon, you're not allowed to eat. But the grain that you put on the Mizbeach, the grain you put on the Mizbeach has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Now, connect the dots and we'll finish. Therefore, when grain now grows Bizman Hazeh in Chutz La'aretz, what's its matir?
The ointment from Eretz Yisrael.
There are two matir. Number one, it's not, the Mizbeach is not an issue anymore, because if I'm growing now today and there's no Mizbeach, I don't care about the Mizbeach because
this is the,
number two, so then it will be Heir HaMizrach.
Of Eretz Yisrael.
Heir HaMizrach. But also, here's the, it's more important, there's no Mizbeach. I'm not eligible. Grain that grows in Chutz is not eligible even to go on the Mizbeach.
But it has a market.
So this changes the dynamics. In other words, I'm trying to say is, this halacha that all of the Rishonim say, this is what I'm trying to bring out, all of the Rishonim that say that the din of Chodosh applies in Chutz La'aretz only applies Bizman Shebeis HaMishnayim. Because then there is a Mizbeach, and then every kernel of grain that comes into this world is affected by that Mizbeach. Then you need the matir of Eretz Yisrael on its Mizbeach affects, it's a step down. You cannot bring the grain of Eretz Yisrael of Chutz La'aretz on the Mizbeach, but still in Chutz La'aretz you need Eretz Yisrael. I'm not being clear at all, but what I'm trying to say in words is, in Eretz Yisrael there are two elements. Number one, the grain itself you can bring for the omer. In Chutz La'aretz, the grain that grows you can't bring as the omer. That makes, from the get-go, the grain in Chutz La'aretz on the Chois Darva. And then when you kill the second element, that there is no Mizbeach, period, then Chutz La'aretz becomes Mutl Gamma. Okay, I'm not explaining correctly.
So you still have the Heir HaMizrach.
No, so that's the point. The Heir HaMizrach is already a step down. You go two steps down. That's the point. In Eretz Yisrael, the way the system is set up is, you can go down one darga, but you can't go down two dargas. In Eretz Yisrael, if there is no Beis Mizbeach, you can go down to Heir HaMizrach. But why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, if there was a Mizbeach, you would be able to take the grain itself and put it on the Mizbeach. Now there's no Mizbeach, now you can come on to Heir Mizrach. But in Chutz La'aretz, you can't go down two steps. I can't take this grain and put it on the Mizbeach. And number two, there is no Mizbeach. So now I should come on to two levels of Heir HaMizrach in Eretz Yisrael to be Matir. I don't need you. The only reason why in Eretz Yisrael, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, you need to be Machner is because you have Heir HaMizrach. You can go one step down. You can't go two steps down. In the ideal circumstances in Eretz Yisrael, the grain itself that grows is a candidate to go on the Mizbeach. And there is a Mizbeach. Now, if you're missing one step, it's okay. You don't have a Mizbeach, okay. We're going to rely upon backup, Heir HaMizrach. The Torah was Mechadesh, Heir HaMizrach as a backup. But in Chutz La'aretz, you have no backups. Because you're already living with a backup. The grain that grows in Chutz La'aretz is not eligible to go on the Mizbeach. So if there at least there is a Mizbeach, okay, that's my backup. There is a Mizbeach, so there will be grain in Eretz which will go on the Mizbeach, and that's going to be matter me here in Chutz La'aretz. But if there is no Mizbeach in Eretz Yisrael, and I can't rely upon the Mizbeach, and there in Eretz Yisrael we have to go on to a backup of Heir HaMizrach, then I in Chutz La'aretz, who are not even eligible to go on the Mizbeach, and there is no Mizbeach to be matir the grain in Eretz Yisrael, I'm already two steps below. I have no sanctity to begin with that I should have a need to have a head. I'm not even losing mark. What I'm saying is that if we go through the lumbus of what exactly is going on in Eretz Yisrael, you have two milos. Every kernel of grain that goes on gets sanctity, that it needs a matir. You know why you get sanctity that needs a matir? For two reasons. Number one, it's sacred, because it could go on the Mizbeach. And number two, there is a Mizbeach. So from the very first moment, it has both of those milos. If you'd only have one milo, it's good enough. But in Chutz La'aretz, you're missing two milos. If you're missing two milos, it doesn't get the sanctity that it needs, that it even needs a heter. And that would explain why there's no din, there's not a zev chodesh period in Chutz La'aretz. The only reason why in Eretz Yisrael you need this manazez is because at least you still have one milah. The grain itself, if there was a Mizbeach, could go on the Mizbeach. So now there's no Mizbeach, no Heir HaMizrach. Heir HaMizrach is only a matir if theoretically the grain that grows could go on the Mizbeach. But in Chutz, you don't even have that. Then you don't have, then it doesn't have the need to have a matir of Heir HaMizrach or of the Mizbeach, and that's why it's mutar l'gamri. All right, I'm confusing you, we'll stop here.